What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kind of Funny First Impressions. This is the show where we give our first impressions to various video games. I'm Tim Geddes. This is Blessing at AOEA Jr.
What's up, Tim?
We got Maximum Cortez himself, Andy Cortez.
Hey, guys. hey, guys and gals.
Very exciting stuff. We're talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake today. Bless and I got to go play it.
Yeah, we did.
We got to go play a lot of it.
We did.
Hours of
Like, man.
What was it, like almost 4 hours?
Yeah, like 3 to 4 hours of it.
And hey.
We got in there.
What?
We got really in there.
Totally not
Bear,
jealous.
Were you invited?
No, I wasn't fucking invited.
Yeah, neither
was I. I'm really excited for this game, too.
Wow.
I must have missed a Google Calendar invite or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, so Andy, you did not get to play it, but you're so interested in this game that you're like, you know what? I want to be here on this first impression.
I am, because I know like the legacy of Final Fantasy. I've just never been a huge Final Fantasy fan. Yeah. I don't love turn-based style games.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So a lot of these games I've just sort of skipped out on. Pokemon, it's a different story.
Even Persona, like, that's me too, where I've always kind of wanted to be a Final Fantasy fan, but every time I tried Final Fantasy, it just doesn't do it for me. And I think for Final Fantasy VII, there's been so much time that has passed that trying to go back to it every time I just fall off. But yeah, there are like other JRPGs like Pokemon or Persona that I do love and I do enjoy despite them being like turn-based.
I know how beloved they are, and I think one of the last Final Fantasy games I tried that was turn-based was Final Fantasy X. Because I've always loved the art of all these games.
They're beautiful.
The characters. Like, growing up as an artist, I would always draw my own characters in those worlds, even though I never played the games. But I've just been so interested. I know Final Fantasy VII is so beloved, and people love this damn franchise. I want to be a part of it. So when I saw that this new one is going to be Final Fantasy 15 style, which is the last Final Fantasy game I played.
It is, and it's not. And I mean that in a good way. It's all only in the good ways. Is it not? And only in the good ways is it. So here's the thing. I played Pokemon, my first RPG as well, for all intents and purposes. My first introduction to turn-based stuff.
Right.
People always call it like baby's first RPG. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what that is. But when Final Fantasy X came out, I had been familiar with Final Fantasy. But I was like, that seems too advanced me. But after Pokemon, I was like, I'm going to give this one a shot. Fell in love with it. Totally went down the rabbit hole, and then I went back and have beaten almost every Final Fantasy since. But Seven was the one. Seven was the one that everyone talked about. The people that played that. If X was my first one, Seven was like the generation a little bit older than me's first.
Yeah, my cousin had the game, and I was like, "That's so many discs."
Which made it cool.
Are those just the soundtracks? Those have the game. That's all the game. Wow,
a lot of video, a lot of dope shit. But the thing is, seeing this game now, I've played through Seven all the way through at least 3 times in my life, and I've restarted and played through the beginning at least 10 times in my life, and being able to not only just see the trailers over the last couple of years for this game, but play through it now and see exactly how one-for-one things are, but also how much imagination's put into reimagining and remaking what this game could be like. It fills in gaps in a way that my mind couldn't keep up with the original, and I'm completely blown away so far.
I think another thing that I am just so interested with is that growing, you know, being a 3D artist and game dev for several years, I am so infatuated when games get remade, because I like to imagine that it's such a fun process to, how does the goddamn red Jaguar, whatever the hell that thing is, how does that look now in this day and age?
It looks dope. We didn't get to see him in what we played. I'm gonna start the footage right here. It's first off gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a beautiful game. Like the environment specifically, I think, are all. Like they all have that style that I imagined that Final Fantasy VII had when I played it, right? And when I would hear about it and when I'd see screenshots, right? But having it fully realized and looking like this, I think takes it. Like I think they did an amazing job from what we saw in the preview. But then also, like just the sword sitting on Cloud's back, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that it kind of shines and how good it looks and the way it has
specularity
that
maps.
And the little thing is the materia, the little green ball. You see it on the sword, and when you change it out, you see it.
That's really sick.
Affected. And I love that type of stuff. And so what's crazy about the environments here is in the original Final Fantasy VII, it was the pre-rendered backgrounds. So Final Fantasy VII's backgrounds have always looked amazing.
Yeah.
And it always had this exact vibe of this, like,
because they don't need to animate. They're just
dirty,
static.
Techno.
Yeah, like dirty future kind of vibe going on.
And it's just beautifully replicated here in, you know, 2000, whatever it was, 5, I want to say,
yeah.
When Advent Children came out. Mm-hmm. And that was the movie.
That was the movie, yeah.
Again,
the
CG movie.
And again, how much I've loved this franchise without even playing it. I'm like, I bought that DVD immediately because I love it, all the characters. Yeah. I love the
I had friends that had that DVD and watched it with them.
And this game looks better than that movie.
Yeah.
And is more true to the spirit of Final Fantasy VII so far that I've experienced than that movie was, which is shocking. So we're talking a lot about the visuals. The sound is insane.
Oh, dude.
Not just the sound effects, but the music.
Yeah, the music specifically, I think this is going to be up there.
Did you feel when you were playing the music sort of dynamically ramped up in certain moments?
So that's the most impressive.
Do that.
Exactly. And this, I feel like Final Fantasy 15 did a really good job of that. But this Spider-Man. One is, honestly, this reminds me a lot of Spider-Man.
Wow.
It's those feelings of like you jump off the building and it like changes how it's playing. But for this, it's iconic themes.
Yeah, and it's like when you're transitioning in and out of battle, like the ways in which they use themes that are iconic and themes that I've heard, even being somebody who I've not played a crazy amount of Final Fantasy VII, I've heard that soundtrack like a lot because that soundtrack is a great soundtrack and the ways in which they take the battle theme and integrate it in ways that you wouldn't have thought of. And so like you're not just hearing the battle theme in battles, you're hearing the battle themes as you're adventuring through like the Mecha Reactor and like the ways in which they kind of have the subtle moments of the soundtrack, or they're taking the soundtrack and integrating them in subtly.
It's
in
motifs.
Ways that make, yeah, motifs.
It's things that come back in, like subtly throughout different arrangements of classic songs. You know,
There's I recall that. Yeah.
Six variations of the battle theme. There's six variations of the boss theme. Not exactly six, but like in our time playing this, like we played what like 3-4 bosses, and every single one had a different theme, but it's the same thing. Different levels of ramped up. Like there's a boss that we face later, and it is a straight up fucking rock version of the boss theme, and
it
is so hype. But I want to go back a little bit here and talk about like some of the changes that they made. So gameplay wise, when you look at it, it kind of seems like okay, they're taking either a more Final Fantasy 15 approach or a more Kingdom Hearts approach where it's action-based. It's actually not.
I was in my menus at a certain... Like, once we got to the more difficult parts of the game, I was in my menus for a good amount of time, for maybe as long as I was actually in the action fighting.
Why is that?
So the thing is, when you look at this, like, when you're just watching the video, it seems a lot more like it's kind of hack-and-slashy.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're just
looks
going
looks very
in.
DMC style.
And it's not. If you play that way, you're gonna lose really, really
Yeah,
fast.
You have to manage, like, what you're doing. You have to manage the different elements. So, like, each enemy has, like, weaknesses, and there are different elements to what the attacks are, right? And so you have to essentially look at your team, right? And if it's Cloud, if it's Barret, and let's say, like, Tifa, right, on a team, you have to pay attention to their abilities. Like you would, and I assume like the original game,
absolutely,
right? You have to pay attention to their abilities and think like, okay, what are the ways in which to implement these attacks that are going to take out my enemy's weakness? And so because of that, you're then switching between characters, but then there's a the ATB gauge is that what it's called?
Active time battle, yeah.
Yeah, active time battle gauge, right? Once you use an ability, that thing goes down by one bar, and then you have to wait for that thing to recharge.
Now,
it's a brilliant twist on the original Final Fantasy VII type of battle system, where I feel like people are going to be pleasantly surprised that loved that game of like, oh, it is a modern version of that system. It just plays a little different, and you're a bit more active of a player doing things. I'm very interested to see somebody that is newer to Final Fantasy, how well does this game give you like a tutorial?
How do those systems translate?
On all the Final Fantasy-isms, because there is quite a bit of things of learning spells and what do the spells do and what do they mean and all
it
that.
It was like that, like
I get overwhelmed easily.
Yeah,
guys.
Like having played Kingdom Hearts, right? Like the names of the attacks are kind of the
Fire,
same, right? Like
Faraga,
Kuraga, Cure, like all that stuff.
Keurig, all that.
Yeah, like all that stuff kind of is still there, and you're still activating those abilities, like in the menu, like in the commands menu, right? Which is the menu that you have access to as you're playing.
And is it like time. A quick pause sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's like super slow motion.
So here's the thing: is the
how
game
click play on this bad boy?
I want to like show you an example here about like how the game teaches you pretty well. So you can see down over here, right?
You know, I apologize for interrupting, Tim. I'm along for the ride, dude.
Yeah.
I'll keep my feet up.
So over here, obviously, this is like your inputs, right? Of like what's going on. You really only have two attacks that any character can do. So you have square is your basic attack, where you're kind of just mashing that thing. That is Devil May Cry style. You are just kind of like action, action, action. You'll then have your triangle attack that every character has a different move. like a different thing. So with Tifa, she's a boxer. That'll be kind of her like uppercut.
Yeah.
And it's like the longer you hold it, the like, you know, more powerful it'll be and like whatever.
But whereas, when you're hitting X, though, everybody still has a different X, right?
It's so not... X, you mean square.
Or square, yeah. Yes. Sorry.
But it is just a basic attack. So Tifa, that's just her punch.
Okay.
Cloud, that's just his slash. Yeah. Barret, that's just his shooting, right? Mm-hmm. But the triangle will be kind of their special. Yeah. It's kind of like thinking about like a side B in Smash Brothers, right?
Yeah,
where everyone's A is like, they're a similar, it might be a sword or a punch, but like, it's a jab. Sure,
yeah.
You know?
Like right here, like if you look on the bottom left, it has the button prompts, right? And if you press triangle, it says charge.
And we're also covering that part, chat. So sorry, or not chat, but whoever. Yeah, our camera's probably covering it.
That's a good point, right? But if
okay, cool.
Yeah, if you press triangle, which is charge as Barret, you then do like a charge.
The meter that you're seeing here, right? Yeah. It'll start to charge a bit more. Like every time you hit triangle, he does a thing. He goes, and it goes up about this much. And then you do it again, this much. And it keeps going.
It.
Once it's full, you can hit triangle again. It's a super powerful attack.
Oh, man, I love that attack
and
so
much. And it's really fucking satisfying. So those are Barret's normal attacks, right? Whereas Cloud, you hit triangle and it does a different thing
Punisher
mode.
So
he has two different modes. There's Punisher mode and Operator. Operator is kind of just your basic, you're running around and, you know, just slashing and stuff, but like from a distance, you don't need to worry too much. Punisher mode, you're doing a lot more damage.
Upfront brawler style.
But you have less options for defense.
Okay.
Yeah. So with Punisher mode on, you can't dodge roll. With Operator mode, you can dodge roll.
Yeah.
So you're constantly kind of switching styles and like, you know, just battle styles to be able to maneuver a bit.
Yeah. And if you, and it also kind of gives that feel of comboing too, because like if you just, you can tap square as Cloud and you just do like regular attacks, right? But you can do like square, 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 hit triangle, change to Punisher mode, and then that actually adds kind of some variability to the actual combat of the game when you're in it, as opposed to like just going into the menus.
Got it.
Yeah.
When you were earlier, you were talking about knowing your team and how to focus on certain weaknesses.
Yeah.
When you say weakness, are we talking like an overall elemental weakness, or are we talking like we need to target the legs? Like when you're fighting a thing, is it?
It's both.
You can fight this area.
Let me show you this right here. So to finish out the kind of battle system real quick. So we got the triangle and square, right? But then there's also the X. You hit the X, you go into the commands menu, and that's when it becomes a bit more traditional Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
So you see it here. Right here. Do you see how everything slows down? It slows down enough where you can actually kind of think about what you're doing. Sure. That's where you cast your spells. That's where you kind of like can maneuver and decide what you're doing. You can also, in that menu... I think it goes into it again. Or hold on.
The charging thing also kind of reminds you of Kakarot, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, where you can sort of charge your key. Or, you know.
With Barret, it's more so like you tap it and then he charges like once and then he does it again and then he's full.
So when you go into the X menu, right, this is what it looks like. You got the abilities, you got your spells, whatever. Abilities are kind of just like even more special moves for Cloud to use his sword or Tifa to punch differently and whatever.
Yeah. More particle effects.
Exactly.
There are a lot of abilities.
This is your ATB. This is the meter he was talking about. Yeah. Constantly building as you're playing. You can use these for your different abilities. And it's just a constant thing that's happening. Spells, that's where you're using your cure, you're using your elemental things, whatever. If you see here, you have the left and right, right? You go into this menu, if you hit left or right, you are then going over to the different characters. And this is a bit more like Final Fantasy 15, where you can control your party to do different things for coordinated attacks.
Got it.
So you're running in really action-y, but then you go into the slow-mo, and then it is a bit more tactical and...
Dragon Age style.
Exactly.
Dragon Age Inquisition. Yeah.
But what's really cool is I want to move forward a bit. So you talk about like what's it mean about like the strengths and weaknesses and shit, right? So the game does a really good job of introducing you to the characters and what their strengths and weaknesses are. This is a perfect example. Barret, when he's in, this is the first time you really get to control him in the game. And Cloud can't get up there.
Because
he only has a sword. So you have him and it's like, oh, when enemies are out of reach, I have to use ranged weapons. Not that that's fucking rocket science, but the game eases you into understanding that, and then eventually we start getting into situations...
Game design, man.
Yeah.
...where things are shooting you from above, and there's people on the ground, and you need to...
And you're dealing with them both,
at the same time. So you need Barret to be shooting down the you know, high
drones
things...
up in the air. Or
...while Cloud's running in, and the boss fights function like that a lot. So the Scorpion boss, there's situations where you want one of them on the legs, one of them on the tail.
Got it.
You
know?
And the coolest thing is you can switch between the characters at any time seamlessly by hitting the D-pad. And you switch between them. So they're doing it here in this boss fight. Like, Well, that just cut.
But again, yeah, this.
But
is
you
just,
could
this,
just switch directly over, shoot a couple times with Barrett, switch back over to Cloud, keep slicing. Yeah. And it's so satisfying.
Right. And that's
this,
an ability right
here.
This is
a particle effect dream, man. It's so gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. No, the game has so many particle effects. But yeah, you see right here, right, the boss jumps to the wall. And so now, yeah, okay. Barret. Like, Barret's really the only option here where you're taking him
Cloud's
down.
Cloud's useless
far.
Here.
Yeah, yeah, Cloud's pretty useless here. But
now,
yeah.
Now, so are you consciously having to take care of Cloud when he's...
No.
Okay.
So when you're not playing as a character, AI takes over. So that's the thing.
And
is,
do they get fucked up?
Yes.
They'll get hit and stuff. Yeah. And they'll, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you do need to care for them. You need to cure them.
Yeah, you need to heal them
a lot. You need to heal them.
You
have
a lot
of
items.
You
have to be very aware of what's going on. Because that's an issue where, like, toward my... when I got to a later part of the game, and it was a lot harder, and my characters were dying, right? It was a thing of, like, oh, shoot, I'm going to have to really pay attention to what my life gauges are for each of my characters and switch to my characters that I know have healing abilities and keep track of that.
Got it.
And so that's why, for me, like, toward... the harder parts of the game, I was in the menu legit like half the time trying to figure out like, okay, like legit freezing time being like, okay, what's the, let me assess the situation. This guy's weak to this. I know Cloud has like a fire attack. I know this character over here has heal. I know this character can like keep distance. And it's just me switching back and forth, activating spells, activating abilities, and managing my gauges. And at that, once you get to that level, that point, right, it really does feel like a turn-based JRPG.
Sure.
Even though, like, the core of it is active. Like, you are, you know, you're hack and slashing.
It's yeah. turn-based, but without the chance to stop and think. Like, you are still actively at all times.
Yeah,
like,
you're dodging when you need to. You are
straight up, it's patting your head and rubbing your stomach. Yeah. That type of thing where you're constantly just like,
I'm super
but it's very
good
satisfying.
That.
Trying like, to do all the things at once. And it's very, very,
yeah,
very
like
satisfying.
At first, it was a bit daunting to me because I even had a point where the person that was downloading the game for us, like, she came to me and she was like, hey, just a heads up, you can take out this specific enemy by doing this thing. And I was like, I didn't even think about that because there's so many options to which I can do and so many different types of enemies and so many, like, there's so much in this game as far as the combat is concerned that, you know, kept me thinking and kept me active the whole time. I was very impressed with that.
It's the type of game that you really need to pay attention to the tutorials as they come up. There is no tutorial where it's just kind of like, we're going to go through everything at once. It's as you're going through chapter one, things will pop up every once in a while that are just like, here's how you deal with this type of enemy. And, like, you need to just kind of learn all the different things. At some point, Cloud learns a move called... I'm blanking on what it's called. But you can, like, detect...
Assess.
Yeah. That's what it is. You can use assess. You use some of your active time battle points to use this move, and then you know what the weaknesses are. The
okay.
enemy. And then you're like, oh, okay, here's how I need to strategize this boss fight or whatever.
Now again, is this the... when you assess the weaknesses, is it... the legs are more vulnerable to this attack.
To fire attacks.
Okay,
and
they'll
straight
cool.
up tell you that.
Yeah. Okay.
And so. then it's on you to be like, okay, I'm going to have... you know, Tifa running in and punching this thing while
got
I have
it.
Barret,
okay.
you know, shooting or whatever
That's
the
cool.
hell.
Yeah, these are actually the guys that the lady that was demoing the game told me about, where she was like, "Oh yeah, you have to switch to punish. Oh, yeah, you have to switch to a certain mode and then do a certain thing."
They warned you about this.
Yeah.
So like these motherfuckers jump at you, and there's like a counter you use, and it like is their weakness.
Got it. Okay.
Right
so
there.
Yeah,
that's
the weakness that she told me about, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And
was that like your parry or whatever?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is like a parry you can use in Punisher mode.
That's sick.
So we got to play like the whole of chapter one, the whole of chapter two. We jumped forward. We did seven, and then we did a little bit of a later one that was just a boss fight, and that really gave us a good idea of how
the
game kind of progresses, the scale of the game, but also the scalability of the battle system. It starts off fairly simple. And when you jump forward, I was like, there was parts where I'm like, I am struggling right
now.
Yeah,
no,
but it's
legit.
Fun.
I didn't beat the last part of the demo because, well, partly because you had already finished and I didn't want to keep you waiting outside. But then also, like, I died, like, quite a few times to a boss.
That's
that
a sick
that
excuse right
just,
there.
that just kept getting me. By my third time, I was like, all right,
yeah,
I'm done.
I'm
out of here.
I'm going to go back to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was here.
It was here, yeah.
It was here, that's right.
So here we got to, this is later on in the game, I think this is chapter seven, but we got to be Tifa, right? And so now we have three members in the team. So you can switch actively between each one whenever you want. And what's crazy is like they are doing such a good job reimagining what Final Fantasy VII was. This is a car with machine gun hands with feet. And they make it make sense in this world. It's bizarre. And they like there's story beats that they've kind of changed.
Dude,
there's dialogue.
The story feels grounded and real and relevant in a way where I was like, shoot, this is actually very interesting.
How's the voice acting?
It's great.
I love it, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
I fucking love it.
It's like, awesome. Like, the character, like, look at Cloud's arms. I was like obsessed with Cloud's arms. Like once you actually see them, like right, there's a realisticness to how like he's kind of ripped, but he's still like very skinny.
Oh sure, yeah.
Like
yeah.
He has that kind of build to him, and legit, I couldn't stop staring at this man's arms.
The thing is, like, I feel like the dialogue has been tweaked to make it less corny, and when something is corny, they kind of know. The characters act as if they're in the same world. Like, there'll be times where Barrett, the original Barrett, based off Mr. T.
Yeah, I didn't. And
you know?
Every time I had dialogue with the original Barrett when I did try Final Fantasy VII, I was like, I don't like this guy at all. But in this game,
it's like, it's still over the top, but he'll say some shit. He's like, can you feel the planet crying out in pain?
Yeah.
And then the other character's kind of like, chill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it. So they didn't take away the character, but like they contextualized it a bit.
Yeah, like it felt like they really did a good job of actually grounding what's going on, which like I didn't realize like the original Final Fantasy VII was about like environmental like destruction and activism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ways in which they kind of communicate that in this game, or the ways they've communicated it in the early parts of the game that we played, right? Like I was really into it. Like, I was engaged. I was curious on, like, you know, what the solutions were, because they had like, presented certain sides of it. They had presented, like, you know, all these different aspects of corporations and all this stuff where I was like, man, like, Final Fantasy VII is real. Like, that's a real story right there that you guys are telling.
So, some of the things that I didn't love about it are, in the demo we played at least, a lot in the environments, while looking amazing, look very similar. And that's because they are very similar. You're kind of just doing the same thing a lot in the early parts of the original game.
Like, you're in a lot of these types of environments.
And it's like, sure, it's beautiful, but how much of it is, at some point, is it going to just kind of be like, all right.
Is it going to be all these blues kind of colors, you know, palettes and shit? Yeah.
And knowing the original game, it probably
kind
is.
Kind of,
you know? Not that that's the worst thing ever, because there is still a lot of differences room to room, right? But the other thing is, like, they did stay a little, in my opinion, too faithful with the mini game type stuff you have to do, and those feel dated, right? Like, there was the bit with the hold up and down on the
sticks.
It's like, this isn't fun.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to figure out what you're talking about, but yeah, that kind of stuff isn't like the best. It didn't really annoy me.
It's not. And this thing is like, that's my only complaint.
Yeah. It's like it's kind of hard to pick it apart because they did a really great job. Like, the one thing I'll say is that if it's very linear. In a way where I don't have a problem with games that want to be linear, but for an RPG and for like a game that feels like it wants to be, or for a game that has so much in it, that feels like it has so much in it, I kind of wish that there was more opportunity to kind of like walk around and explore more, which there might be in the parts that we didn't play.
And that's my thing is, I imagine in the full game there will be.
Well, you went from like 1-2 to 7, right? You went from chapters 1 and 2 all the way to 7?
Yes, yeah, okay. Exactly.
And then I think to like
I know, 10. Like, just from having played the original, it is in between that you would get kind of the opens up a little bit. Yeah, so opens up a lot actually, and I imagine that that this one will do that as well. Mm-hmm. But it does feel a lot more similar to Uncharted 4 than I expected it to. Like, the bits where you do get to kind of walk around feel as open as wherever that location was in Uncharted 4. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you get the Jeep, right?
Yeah,
it's that. This is the mini game that I'm talking about, and it's like this thing where like Tifa's like giving you controls. She's like, 3, 2, 1, and you need to, like, you see how it's down on the left and up on the right?
Yeah.
You need to do it at the right time. It's just busy work.
Yeah.
It's just things to do to
break. Can we pretend I did it and just not have me do it?
Exactly. Yeah. But here is something that, like, the video they sent us, the audio mix, like, they had the music lower than I'd want it. When we were playing, the music was fucking banging.
It was great.
This, you can't hear it that great, but it's the boss theme.
Did y'all play on some really nice TVs?
Yes. Yeah. This rock thing.
The boss fights were so fun. Like, I was not expecting to enjoy the boss fights as much as I did. But you feel really involved in everything that's going on.
Yeah, so this was the most challenging boss fight for me.
Uh-huh.
You had more issue with the other one that we did.
This one I thought was a breeze for me.
But this, to me, is a perfect example of why this game succeeds. The gameplay backs up the epicness, backs up big set pieces. This is a boss fight that requires great use of all three characters at different times. You're on this bridge, this big airbuster bad guy's here, and he keeps switching up what his moves are.
Okay.
And as he's doing that, you have to switch between each character.
Because each one is impervious to certain of those moves, or
it's that, but it's more just kind of like oh man, he's like see now he's far, so it's like okay, yeah, Barrett has to get him, or they summon Leviathan back there.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say,
dude, we haven't even talked about summons or limit and all that stuff.
Yeah,
there's so much
in the game.
Like it feels like at all times there's like one more element that you're not thinking of that is available to you, but. You know, there's just so many options. Like, oh shoot, I could use this, or I could use this, or I could pull this out, right? Like, he has this limit; he's about to use it, right, to cross slash the Airbuster.
Yeah.
Wow. And like, look at the animation. Damn. The animation in this game is so awesome.
It's gorgeous.
And I will say, man, like, so in the background over here, you can kind of see there's drones, and it's the Shinra president kind of like talking to you, and like that happens in the original game, kind of. Like, it's him talking to you, but this game modernizes it and makes it like, oh, no, he's not actually there on the bridge with you talking. Because that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Sure, yeah.
He's using drones to talk with you and fuck with you. And, like, I don't want to, like, even get into the story beats of this. But
this is the guy that fucked me up.
The way they present the story in this remake is so much more clear than the original game that it just makes sense and you believe in what the characters are going through. The added scenes that they have, like, throughout any single beat that we've seen, I'm like, this is making this a stronger game.
Were there any elements of talking to NPCs?
You kind of walk, but we didn't see too many NPCs. We saw a little bit earlier in this.
I saw that little kind of commune area or whatever.
Yeah, hold
on. But I don't know if... I'm thinking more along the lines of, like, side quests, you know?
So, I imagine that that's what would be that. We didn't get to demo any of that. But, yeah, so you kind of walk through here and then, like, dialogue.
Definitely not a commune. It's more of a disaster area, I guess.
So yeah, exactly. But this is... anytime, like, you walk by people and they're talking... little dialogue will pop up.
Which I really like.
Okay. How much level upping were you all doing?
It was satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I did constantly feel like I was getting more powerful. I was always collecting something interesting. Another thing that I don't want to say was a con to it. It was just so far in my experience, it's not how I normally like to play games. I don't really have any incentive to explore. Like... there are very few corners that, when you walk around them, actually have something worthwhile.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel that too.
It's like there's one kind of set of boxes that you can slash at, and then like there'll be something in it. Let me see if I can try to find it. But like anything else, there's no reason to even check. Like if you look over and you can kind of see like, oh, there's nothing over there. There's actually nothing over there.
Yeah. Like the one thing I was trying to explore to find were potions.
Uh-huh.
Or like healing things, and yeah, I was always like slash these boxes and find it inside. Like I never really felt like I was finding anything unique. But also, I do wonder if it's one of those things of just like the specific areas we're thrown into to explore.
Yeah,
like I
definitely.
Wonder how that stuff plays in when you're maybe like not in like a combat area or like a specific like mission.
Were you all while you were? And by the way, I don't know why I said level upping, but that's the way I'm going to say it now. It's a leveling up. When you were level upping earlier, were you all unlocking abilities?
Yes.
New moves and stuff?
And granted, the way that we played the demo, they really kind of just...
constrained
like,
you a
you beat
bit.
It, and then you move to the next chapter, cool. And then anything you did, you lost.
Got
it was like a save file. So it's like, it was hard to tell what we're learning versus what is just given to us. Because, yeah, we go from the beginning of the game, just Cloud, then you get Barrett, and then they jump you forward, and oh, Tifa's a new team.
Oh,
and then they jumped us forward even more, and Aerith is in your team.
Yeah.
And this was the one that I didn't really get to too much of an experience with because I fucked this boss up so fucking fast.
Yeah.
And
how did you do it? Because they were killing
He's a video game player.
No, it's not that. Oh. It's just I lucked the hell out. Like,
okay.
He has these big moves where, like, poison kind of like.
Yeah,
like,
and I got poisoned every time.
He got hit every time. I never got hit. And it was just by chance that I was, like, standing where
I am all about Aerith's fucking. Moveset graphics and colors.
She's
oh my
dope,
god,
man. A lot of glyphs.
So sick.
A lot of mage shit.
I love
going
me
on.
A glyph. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I love me a glyph.
We haven't even talked about the pressured and staggered thing, right? Where you're like building up that meter to then stagger your
look at those flowers.
Enemy.
What's going on there?
She's a little flower girl.
You all were mentioning Punisher mode and all these sort of different fighting styles. Those fighting styles, are they absolutely like necessary, or is it more of a you could not use Punisher mode if you prefer the other mode, but it's going to be a lot harder.
I mean,
like earlier when you said the woman was recommending you should use Punisher mode on these guys, is it one of those things where you're like, No, but that's not the way I play. I'd rather play the other way, even though it's a little bit harder.
It's definitely like you're going to want to use
that. It's not you have to, but it's the difference of, oh, you can get rid of this enemy in 15 seconds and only lose this much life, or you can spend 2 minutes and lose that much.
Like, it's more of a special ability than anything, than like an actual different way of fighting, right? Where, like,
it's not a whole like methodology, like actually how I attack enemies in games. It's like,
no, yeah, like for.
You're going to do this.
For Barret, you're going to want to press. You're going to want to use your triangle to use your overcharge so you can take out enemies, and you're going to want to use the uppercut, right? It's like a thing that is, well, I guess for Barret, it's like a thing that's charging and you get to use, right? And for Tifa, was her uppercut charger? I didn't really use much of Tifa.
Yeah.
You had to recharge.
Oh, no, it was not charge. It was just, it was a strong hit that like kind of like.
But after you use it, does it then have to recharge?
No.
You can use it over.
You can use it a lot. Yeah. It's just like, it's like a long animation.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Guys, video games are cool. Like, looking at this, this looks like such...
It's a video game.
This
video
looks
game.
Like such a fever dream of, oh, the new video leaked, and then everybody's like, yeah, but that's fucking, like, in-game cinematic bullshit. Yeah. It's not actually in-engine gameplay.
Dude, we fucking played this. This is Ifrit. This is goddamn Ifrit fucking people up in...
Look at this.
This is 10.
Look at that big boy!
Look at this!
Oh, my goodness!
And fucking Aerith's beautiful, man. Like,
and then you have summon abilities.
Right here, did one of the characters say, like, try this one on for size?
Dude, honestly, there's a lot of that stuff. Yeah, like, there was a fun moment where after you beat one of the bosses, Barret goes,
cool.
I gotta start doing that for all of them now, because they did that in Final Fantasy 15 as well.
Yeah.
The
one that looked like James Fox.
That's one thing that is a bummer, that the victory theme seems to be missing.
Yeah.
And it's sad because I love the victory theme.
Gotta love it.
Now, because one thing I really enjoyed about Final Fantasy 15 was the loop, because I really enjoyed those side missions of go take down this one guy over here. There's not a bounty, or like kind of, it was very Witcher style almost, where they'd be like, hey, there's a creature over here. Gotta go kill it. Gotta go bring it back. Things over here.
We didn't get any hint of that type of stuff in what we played. What we played was very linear. Okay. And from playing the original game, that's what this is. Like, we kind of played through the bit where you take down the first tower, and then what are they called? The
reactors?
The reactor.
Yeah.
You take down
the tower, you unlock the first world.
It jumps forward. No, it's not like that. Like, you bomb the first reactor.
Okay.
And it's like the MacGuffins in the game.
Then it jumps forward, and you're going after another reactor. And it's like, so that's what a lot of the samey locations, like, because you're literally going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Just a different one of the same thing. We didn't get to play any of the stuff in between. So I think that's where we will get that kind of like, we've even seen in the trailers already. Like, there's going to be a lot of moments to, you know, deviate from going through a complete straight line. But we'll see. I just don't expect
them. Yeah, that's like my
one
hope. Like, I hope it is more than just, like, you're going through those areas in a linear fashion and going through, like, the beats just to get to another one of, like, the reactors. Like, I really hope it's not that.
I don't know.
Because I feel like that would be the only way in which, like, this game could be a bummer.
In my opinion, I kind of hope they do that.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, so far, I'm really loving how epic everything feels. Mm-hmm. Everything feels as important as the last thing. And I feel like, hey, man, there's all this shit we got to deal with. Oh, but wait, let's go, you know, if I can deal with this bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't feel believable for the stakes of which they're dealing with.
That helps a lot more with pacing as well. Like, when you as a developer can sort of sculpt what this game experience will be like and know when it's like a stand-up set or something. Like, this is where this big epic moment's going to happen, and then there's going to be a lull, but then this next big epic moment's going to happen, where with an open-world game, you can go fuck off for 30 minutes and do something else, and it won't feel as important, you know?
We'll see, though. Grand. We'll see. I so far, I think this game is going to be extremely special.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that it being a part one isn't going to hinder it as much as it potentially can, because we got hints in this that they're changing things up in a way that I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I get what they're doing here, and it's going to be real good. But I can see a lot of people being like, all right, well, when's the rest of the game?
I'm all in for all the story bits. Like, it seems I got the vibe that it's going to wrap up nicely in terms of, like, it being a part one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, with that expectation in mind, right, like, I'm looking forward to it. I think I have faith that it's going to do a good job of that.
You think like a 15 to a 20 hour adventure, or
here's the thing.
Tell me the thing.
They've been saying it's as long as this part of Final Fantasy VII is going to be an entire modern Final Fantasy campaign game. Yeah. And I imagine that this is going to net out somewhere around 24 hours.
Yeah, that was, I was going to say, know? 20 to 25 hours.
Which is, like, for me, what Kingdom Hearts 3 was. You know? Okay. So I can see that kind of being the same type of length. And, man, I'm fucking in. Like, that 24 hours of this?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
You know what I'm excited about? Buying this and then being able to use that same copy on PS5. You heard it here first, guys. You can buy one. No, that's totally
we
fake.
Don't know.
No,
we don't know.
Totally fake news.
We can kind of expect it, though. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been our first impressions for Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm sure we'll be talking about this game a lot more in the coming weeks. Weeks, because this game comes out in weeks. Sure, it might be like, you know, 8 or 9.
Okay, I was going to say, how many weeks?
Damn, that's not that much,
jeez,
though.
Jeez Louise. I thought I was thinking March already. I got super horny.
Well, it was supposed to be. This game was supposed to come out in 6 days.
Ah, freak. Got it.
As of recording.
We would have already played Last of Us. We were about to play this game. Doom Eternal, we would have played last year. Like, Animal Crossing.
Past was a crazy time.
We were supposed to play Watch Dogs Legion already.
Oh, man. All right, until next time. Love you guys.